Little Hand says it's time to rock and roll.
Bring the noise.
Hasta la vista, baby.
Welcome to Earth.
We came, we saw, we kicked its ass.
Bong. James Bong.
Pop quiz, hot shot.
Your move, creep.
Get off my plane.
Get your ass to Mars.
I feel mean. The name's Earth.
I'm your huckleberry.
We see we cut the Kit Kat and hole.
Hey, motherfucker.
Hello and welcome to the Everything Ashcast, the podcast for October 5th, 2020. I'm your host, Zach. Joining us, we have Chris.
Hello.
And we have a ton of stuff diving this week, especially trailers. There's a crazy amount of trailers to get through this week, along with a bunch of other news to dive into. And then later on, we'll talk about virtual combat that we watched last week, and some other stuff that we watched. So that'll be later in the show, but let's first dive into some trailers. We got a new trailer for Free Guy, which is a new Ryan Reynolds movie that is coming out, claiming to be coming out on December 11th, although that we, considering everything else that's moved, I would be shocked if that comes out or doesn't move to, like, VOD or something, but as of us recording this right now, it has a December 11th theatrical release date. But yeah, so it's Ryan Reynolds is basically, he's an NPC in a, I guess it's like a Grand Theft Auto / Fortnite. It's like a online multiplayer shooter version of GTA, I guess.
But it also has like a Second Life, like kind of like The Sims, where you build up the world and you build up like inventory.
Yeah. Well, it's like all the players seem to have like a lot of like they have like a ton of like customization on them, but then it's like a like open world city like GTA. So
it's a
mishmash of things.
Of all these things. It's like Wreck-It Ralph almost of that thing.
Yeah, it's got a very like Tron. It's a little bit of Tron, a little bit of like Ready Player One, Wreck-It Ralph. Like it's there's a lot of different influences. But yeah, so Ryan Reynolds is a guy who is a NPC bank teller who's kind of like programmed to just like go through like his day every day, but then he finds out that he is like a video game character, and like breaks, and then he starts breaking his programming and like tries to be like this. It's like this horrible chaotic world, and he's trying to become like a hero, like a good hero person, like helping people, and like it's like ruining the game. And then the evil developer of the game, who's played by Taika Waititi, wants to take the game offline in like a few days. So like, guy has to save the game with like the help of one of the programmers, who is played by Jodie Comer from Killing Eve, who also has like a like in-game like avatar who's Molotov Girl, and they team up together to like save the virtual world.
I'm still trying to figure out where, I don't know why the guy is like a hugely popular game and the guy just like, I hate it, like I want to turn this game off.
Yeah,
or like, I think they're trying to turn it off because like he can't rig it anymore the way he wants it.
Yeah, or like people are just like, oh, this game's lame now because it's got this like guy, this like blue shirt guy is like helping people and being nice, and we hate don't like it anymore. Yeah.
So it's like, as a gamer, I'd be mad. Where it's like, hey, this game is like playing its own rules. Like this, I'd be like turning this off too.
Yeah.
Imagine playing GTA and suddenly like you just have this like unkillable NPC guy.
Yeah, like, well, GTA Online, and then it's just like, yeah, like. But yeah, it looks like you know, like a lot of typical like Ryan Reynolds, what we've seen from recently, like Deadpool and stuff, and or like Detective Pikachu or something like that. And yes, it's directed by Sean Levy, who you know, most recently worked on Stranger Things. And actually, speaking of the Stranger Things, Joe Keery, Steve from Stranger Things, is also in this movie, along with Lil Rel. But yeah, so December, I guess we'll have to see if it holds that release date or not. I very much doubt it. If this doesn't go to like premium video on demand in like a month, like a couple weeks here, I would be very shocked. considering like nothing is coming out for the rest of the year, basically. Like all the big movies moved, which we'll get to in a little bit. But yeah, I don't know if it's gonna it's gonna work, but we'll see. Yeah, so that's coming, and then in January next year, which hopefully might be slightly better than this year, we're getting a new action movie called The 355, which is it looks like basically like Bourne mixed with Ocean's 8.
Yeah, they all are like super good at their like spy killing things, and they just teamed up.
Yeah, so Jessica Chastain is a CIA agent, and she's basically given like her boss is like, I can't like officially can't do this, but like if you went rogue, that'd be cool, and like if you send like a team of other female badasses, that'd be cool, because there's some sort of like new weapon or new technology that's out there that that could like destroy the world or like blow up cities. They need to like get it back.
I don't know why it's like, oh, we can't. It's like a known villain has his device, but we can't stop him. Like, what?
Yeah. So, yeah, so Jessica Chastain recruits Lupita Nyong'o and Diane Kruger and Penelope Cruz, and then possibly Bing Bing Fan, although, like, she's sort of, like, the description says, like, Bing Bing Fan is, like not on their team, but she's, like, following them or tracking them. So I don't know if she's, like, a villain or not. And also Sebastian Stan and Edgar Ramirez are there as well.
Just having fun.
One of them, I'm sure one of them is probably the main villain.
Right.
And directed by Simon Kinberg. So, which last movie he directed was this, I think last movie was his first movie, and it was also Dark Phoenix, which is a massive disaster. So not a lot of confidence in him as a director, but hopefully maybe since he's like away from like the mess of X-Men, maybe he'll have better luck.
Yeah, maybe enough time has passed.
Yeah, a year. But yeah, I mean, it looks like a solid sort of like Bourne-esque action movie, like globetrotting, and it has kind of like a like an Oceans or like an Expendables that like assemble a team and go fight bad guys. It looks like it has a scene like directly like it looks like there's almost a scene like directly from Ocean's 8 where they're going undercover at like some sort of gala or something, and it's like their jewelry is like surveillance equipment and stuff. It's literally like out of Ocean's 8, like when they go to, like the Met Gala. So it's just like they're like, hey, we got this Bourne script and we got this Ocean's 8 script, let's smash them together. But, yeah, so January 15th is when this movie will hopefully hit theaters. Or we could still be in a... we could still be looking at a lot of VOD stuff. So maybe this will be VOD that in that time still, but we'll see. And then coming to Prime Video next year, we got our first trailer for the Invincible animated series that's coming from... the team that pretty much is adapting every popular comic book or like kind of like popular like I guess the more violent ones or the more like not DC Marvel
like,
ones.
Well, it's like anything that's like subversive comic stories are going to Amazon.
Yes. Yeah, and also they're being produced by Seth Rogen and Evan Goldberg.
Yeah, it seems like they see something that's like, hey, this isn't like a typical comic story, and they just snatch it up.
Or they're both big comic nerds, and they're just like, oh, I like this comic. Let's make this a show now.
So Invincible is like not a typical comic story. It starts like a Superman story, but then becomes a totally different thing on its own.
Yeah, but yeah. So yeah, on the heels of Preacher and The Boys, Seth Rogen and Evan Goldberg are teaming up with Robert Kirkman, who wrote Invincible, and also obviously wrote Walking Dead. And then so Invincible's becoming an animated series on Prime Video next year. Steven Yeun from Walking Dead is voicing the main character.
Mr. Invincible.
yeah, Mr. Invincible. No, what's the character's name? Like, isn't it Mark or
I think it's Mark. I didn't really read a lot of it.
Yeah,
I'm one of those guys who learned about it way at the end when it started ending. It got popular for me.
I think I read maybe like 3 or 4 trades and then kind of fell off of it. But I definitely got to like I think it was probably in the first trade, but like the big twist that happens.
Yeah, I think that's when like I started getting, I knew more of it. You know what the weird thing is? His first appearance, like I own Tech Jacket, Robert Kirkman's like other series that he made that was like trying to make it like anime-esque stories, and it's about this guy. It's basically like the Guyver, where some guy finds like an Iron Man type costume, and it just like gives him powers, or like, you know, he's basically Blue Beetle too. Like he's a Blue Beetle, and then Invincible is just there, and I'm just like, oh, that's nice, and I just didn't pay attention. And it's like, oh yeah, Invincible gets his own series. I'm like, the dude from Tech Jacket. So yeah, like it's pretty crazy of a series, because you know, you really don't see Invincible marketing. It's mostly definitely a diehard comic fan series first. Yeah. Like a very
I think it probably got over, like, it probably got overshadowed by Walking Dead as far as like Robert Kirkman stuff, because like it was like, did Walking Dead come out first?
No.
Or Invincible was first, and then they did Walking Dead, and then he was like, and then Walking Dead is just like, oh, Robert Kirkman, like Walking Dead is the biggest thing on the planet. So.
Well, and then what? Like a lot of his series, he started like making. Yeah, let me look up the history. I think it's like Tech Jacket first, and then because of Tech Jacket, then he made Invincible. And then during Invincible, he then made Walking Dead, like, right after. And then around that time, he started doing Outcast, like, a few years later. And then it's, like, almost that whole lineup, everything besides Tech Jacket, has, like, taken off.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, he just had a nice streak of, like, awesome things. But he also did like a whole bunch of other stories that weren't that great either. Like, I mean, not to that level, I guess.
Well, I mean, he's got his own, like, he basically, like, he has his own like comic company, like Skybound is like its own company. So.
Well, I know he just like, but it's like he produces all these comic series, and people thought he just shits gold. Mm-hmm. And it's like, nah, you're gonna have some few hits and misses.
But yeah, Invincible the comic was awesome. And the show looks pretty great. Like it looks exactly like the animation style looks exactly like the comic. So it looks like it's definitely keeping the like crazy violence of the comic, because like it's definitely like in the vein of like what we see on like The Boys and stuff, where it's like, oh, what if, like, what would happen if you actually had like a Superman style character like fight someone, like in like had like Superman like actually like punch someone in the face and like their head exploded or something, which is definitely true of like Invincible's dad, Omni-Man, any sort of villainy fights is less like, oh, I'm going to rip your spine out or like smash your face in or something.
Well, they're not like, I'm just gonna steal this money from a bank and try not to stop me. They're always like, I'm going to destroy this world if you don't stop me.
Mm-hmm.
That was the cool thing about him, was that like he was still like a realistic. He was for a superhero teen. He wasn't trying to juggle basic things that you kind of get at the total of like your standard, like, oh, it's so hard being a teen and a superhero.
Mm-hmm.
It's like he had way more complications.
Yes.
Like, and the series really knew how to grow with it. So it wasn't that he was stuck as like a teenager in most of his arcs. It's like maybe 2 arcs, maybe, you know, take place as like the early teens, and the rest is just like him dealing with the onslaught of like betrayals and like friendships, and then like superheroes coming after him.
Yeah. It started out and it felt sort of like, oh, this is just like, it's like Spider-Man kind of, Superman as a teenager or something, or like
he still was like a comedian, like he still tried to be funny. I mean, that's where Spider-Man comes from.
And then there's a twist in I think it's like probably 6 or so episode issues in, and then after that it's just like, oh geez, this is crazy now. Which I'm sure the first season we'll get to. So But yeah, it looks great. J.K. Simmons is voicing Omni-Man in, aka Invincible's dad, on the show, so that's pretty awesome. And also, the rest of the voice cast is pretty crazy too. Like Seth Rogen's doing a voice, Walton Goggins, Sandra Oh, Zazie Beetz, Mark Hamill, Jason Mantzoukas, Mae Whitman, Julian Jacobs, Kerry Payton, Zachary Quinto. They didn't say a definite release date. It's sometime next year, 2021. So hopefully we'll find out a more solid release date soon. But definitely looking forward to that one. I mean, if it's half as good as The Boys, then it'll be pretty amazing. So. And then we also got a trailer for coming to HBO Max, a new version of The Witches, the Roald Dahl classic, that got a version in the 90s that apparently is like one of the most horrifically childhood scarring movies. Like, it's like people like put that up there as like, if you saw it as a child, like you're scarred for life after watching it.
It was too real. And
yes.
They could have went comical with it because the story's funny, but and they had like very rudimental understanding of CGI, yet they went for like ugly British people like makeup.
Yeah.
Just the worst to see as a kid.
But yeah, so this new version stars Anne Hathaway as the Grand High Witch, who is an evil witch who assembles a conference of witches, and then this kid and his grandmother just through bad luck end up at the same sort of like hotel that this witch conference is happening at, and the kid gets turned into a mouse by the Grand High Witch, and then they have to like figure out a way to stop their evil schemes and turn back into kids.
Did you read the book, or did you?
I didn't read the book or see the 1990 movie. So
okay, this is all foreign to you. I read the book, or like our teacher read it to us, and then I saw the movie more. And it's like they're kind of slightly different in tone. There's way more like, you think the movie's gonna take a lot of place with like the kid kind of being slick about the witch before he fucks up and gets caught by the witches to turn into a mouse, right? Mm-hmm. But that is like, I'm gonna say like in the movie maybe 10 minutes in, like it's a very fast pace, like, oh, and you're caught, like,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's like I forgot why his parents are gone. It's just kind of like, eh, anyway, grandma, let's go on, like, it's like this little boy and his grandma just go on vacation because the grandma wants to go to the countryside and hang out. I think she wants to see, like, old friends, but then, like, the witch conference is there.
Mm-hmm.
But I definitely remember, like, I totally forgot the boys just, like, oh, my grandma's my only family. It's, like, a sad, punctual part. But this movie, they're really, like, it's something, I guess, in the book, too, that they kind of pay attention to. So this is more accurate to the book than from what the generation grew up with the movie. And in the movie version, they didn't play that a lot. Like, that was... It was like Charlie and Chocolate Factory still like was rampant. It was like Roald Dahl, Charlie and Chocolate Factory. What? How about the other things that Roald Dahl made? Like, never mind that. Charlie and Chocolate Factory.
Yeah.
I'm fine with it. I think Anne Hathaway as the lead witch is awesome, but I'm just biased because I'm kind of like, I still have a crush on Anne Hathaway, so mm-hmm. Totally down for it.
And Stanley Tucci's there as well, as I think as like the concierge at the hotel. And Chris Rock is doing like the like
narration.
Future boy like looking back. So it's like a weird like Everyone Hates Chris like flashback.
I can't remember in the original if he. I don't think in the movie there is a narration. I think it's just like plays out.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I think it's a little different.
Yeah, and Robert Zemeckis is directing it. So, that's pretty big. And then, apparently, like, Guillermo del Toro, like, helped write the script at one point. So, there's some del Toro in there. Alan Silvestri's back to like, join Robert Zemeckis with the score. So, tons of star power behind this thing. HBO Max exclusive. It's gonna be October 22nd on HBO Max. It was gonna be a theatrical release, but now it's an HBO Max exclusive. So... Keep an eye out for that on your HBO Max later in the month, just in time for Halloween. And then we also got the trailer this week for Fat Man, which is a very interesting looking Christmas movie where Mel Gibson is Santa, a.k.a. Kris Kringle, who is like a miserable, drunk, fed-up Santa who has to, like, take deals with the U.S. military for some reason. Like, takes a contract to, like, do something with the military, and then, like, people are shooting his sled, and, like, it's a very, like, gritty, like, not
festive movie.
Yeah, this isn't, like, awesome, cool Kurt Russell Santa we got recently. This is, like, alcoholic, gritty, like, washed up, I hate being Santa, Santa. Like,
it is weird because it really does remind, it is just, I guess, a metaphor for like Mel Gibson's redemption arc.
The big plot detail is that there's a kid who gets a lump of coal one year from Santa and decides to hire a hitman played by Walton Goggins to go and kill Santa. So Walton Goggins is hunting down Mel Gibson to kill him. And Mel Gibson is Santa.
You know how weird of a universe this is already, where it's like, not only is Santa real, you can find him.
Yeah, and he's doing deals with, like, the U.S. government. Like,
well, I get that, but I don't get how this killer, who's just like, yeah, I can do anything, there's like, oh, go kill Santa? It's like, all right. Like,
yeah. And then he goes to the post office, and the post office is like, oh, yeah, here's his address. Like, he lives, like, in, like, the next town over, in, like, whatever, like, Minnesota or whatever the hell they are, like, it's not even, or, like, Alaska or whatever, wherever he is, like, it's not even, like, the North Pole, it's, like, he lives in, like, some small town in Alaska or something.
Yeah, some middle America farmland.
Yeah.
And here's the thing, too, what's the chances you kill the wrong Santa? Like, you know, like, it's in this world where he's verified as the real Santa. Mm-hmm. I don't know, I just think that's, like, the hilarious part, where it's like, no, it's established, don't worry about it.
Yeah.
It's like paying to kill the Loch Ness Monster, or a Bigfoot.
Yeah. It almost feels too, like, it feels like a Simpson joke or something. Like, you remember someone with Mel Gibson on The Simpsons where, like, they, like, remade Mr. Smith Goes to Washington, and it was, like, the end of it was just, like, a machine gun battle? Like, this feels like this, where it's like, oh, what if Mel Gibson was saying that, and he had like machine gun and stuff, and he was just like killing people. Like, that's a movie.
Yeah.
So this one's gonna be in quote unquote select theaters on November 13th, but it's mainly gonna be on demand on November 17th. So keep an eye out for that one next month, Walton Goggins versus Mel Gibson, to get into the Christmas spirit. And then last trailer this week is that we got a trailer for a new Netflix anime-inspired show from the same studio that brought you Castlevania, Powerhouse. Powerhouse Animation Studio. Blood of Zeus, which is a Greek mythology-inspired adult animation show. It seems like it's pulling, like, a lot of, like, it's, there's influences from, like, every sort of big Greek mythology thing. Like, I feel there's some Clash of the Titans in there. There's, like, some Hercules in there. There's some, like, God of War in there. There's even some, like that, like, the Henry Cavill movie Immortals, I feel, is in there.
I feel like that's just exists already. And it's, like, yeah, it's definitely more of the modern takes on it.
Yeah.
Or more of the greater mythos.
I definitely got an Immortals vibe from, like, it might be Hermes or something. It's like fighting a bunch of guys, and it's just, like, super speed. And that was, like, it feels like exactly the same way, like, the gods fought, like, Immortals, where they are, like, they would be, like, in super speed, and then, like, everyone else would be, like, slow motion.
Mm. I'm down with it. I actually don't mind the Immortals, so I'm okay with this.
Yeah, we just need like Mickey Rourke character in the show that's, like, squeezing peaches and, like, yelling at people wearing, like, a bird crown or something. Like, whatever the hell was going on with him.
He just sounded drunk. He was just, like, drunk on wine, and he's like, I'm gonna be Whiplash.
I just remember he was just like, he just, he, there was a scene where he was just like sitting in his tent, just like squeezing like fruit into a, like a giant bowl. And it was like, I'm gonna get the bow. I want to get that bow. And I'm going to kill the gods.
I also remember the henchmen do, like, his, like, undead henchmen do a lot of the work.
Yes. But, yeah, so, and very, a very similar, like, this, Blood of Zeus has a very similar setup to, like, a lot of the, like, sort of Greek mythology stuff that we've seen. Like Immortals and like Clash of Titans, where there's a young warrior named Heron, who is like, surprise surprise, one of the sons of Zeus, because everyone is a son of Zeus, because he was just like ran rampant across Greece, and just like as a bird, as a cloud, as a stream of water, like you were not safe from Zeus if you were like a Greek lady.
Oh yeah, just if you meet anything that's talking, just don't, yes, don't turn your back against it.
But yeah, so Heron finds out he's the son of Zeus, and then he is like possibly one of the only like the person who can help stop like this like army of demons that is like kind of sprung, like the gods defeated the Titans, but the Titans like cursed Greece, and like their blood caused like a new like demonic army to rise up. And it also looks like, I'm not sure, it seems like it's maybe like kind of like pulling a little bit of like Hercules' Legendary Journey, where it's like Hera is also like a villain and is like working against Zeus and like working with like the like demonic army leader.
It's weird. It's like his wife is actively trying to destroy Zeus's like children. I mean, it's like she's supposed to be insanely jealous, and I get that.
And it also seems like it's a throwback to the like of like nice Zeus, because like I think like especially like in God of War recently, like Zeus is just a gigantic asshole. But this is like a throwback to like, yeah, you know, like Hercules or like or like Disney version of Hercules or something, where it's like, hey, Zeus is a cool dad. Like,
he's not creepy or like super angry.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, it looks like very similar to Castlevania. So I'm sure if you're into Castlevania and then you're also into like Greek mythology, I'm sure this will probably be pretty awesome. And it's gonna be a couple weeks, October 27th, on Netflix is the first season. So definitely add that to your queue. Get ready for that. So, moving on to other news, we got some crazy Mortal Kombat news, actually today we're recording this. So, Rambo is coming to Mortal Kombat 11, voiced by Stallone, yeah. And their next combat pack, which also is going to be included in Mortal Kombat 11 Ultimate Edition, which is pretty much everything up to this point. And they also revealed today, like, it's going to be on PS5 and Xbox Series X, and there's going to be a free upgrade if you have the current gen versions. If you get a new console, you can upgrade for free to like the new versions. But yeah, John Rambo in Mortal Kombat, voiced by Stallone. He's got the like M60 machine gun. He's got his bow. I'm sure he's got his knife. And then joined by Melina and Rain, who have been like very much like fans have been like clamoring for them to be back in Mortal Kombat, so they're back as well. Yeah, so now we can have Rambo versus Terminator and Rambo versus RoboCop.
Finally to like settle,
yeah,
some settle old like play school like imaginary battles.
Yeah, settle the greatest matchups in 80s action movie history, like. There wasn't any gameplay, I don't think, so we don't really know how Rambo plays. It was just a cinematic trailer, but hopefully maybe we'll get some gameplay soon.
I only think it's unfair for like a guy to bring a machine gun to a fight.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think all the guest characters, all these 80s action guest characters have had like guns. Like RoboCop has his pistol, and like Terminator has his shotgun. So
yeah. But yeah, it's just like really unfair lately. It's like Liu Kang just got fist, and everyone's got like machine guns.
Well, who's the gunslinger guy?
Not John Marston.
like Supernatural John Marston. Yeah. Aaron Black. But yeah, he's got guns. Oh, I forgot. Yeah, I think Joker's along with like RoboCop and Terminator and John Rambo, there's also been like Spawn and the Joker as well. So, we get Rambo versus the Joker. That's the matchup everyone's been like wanting to see. I just want to watch the RoboCop and the Terminator. I just want to watch the YouTube video of like every single one of his like one-liners when because every time he like fights a different person, it's always like a different like introduction. So I just want to see like all the different like Rambo, like I'm gonna take you down Spawn, like, or just, like whatever he says to everybody. I think every possible combination has like at least like two or three different back and forth conversations before the fight starts. So,
yep. That's the cool thing is that they built it really well to kind of interact with certain things. But I think the Terminator one or RoboCop one really do well. Like
there's so many inside jokes and like references and like.
Because they're like rivalry of like sci-fi fandom. What the fuck is like Rambo is like, hey, I just want to go home. Leave me alone. You drew first blood. Like all those quotes, they don't make any sense.
You gotta to fight a war. You gotta become a war.
Yeah, and they're just like, all right, I don't know who you are.
Yeah, I'm your worst nightmare. But I think it's gonna be November 17th, I believe, is when those are coming out. November 17th is Mortal Kombat Ultimates. So you can buy that and have everything, or you can just buy it. If you already have everything, you can get the Kombat Pack 2 by itself, or you can get the PS5 and Series X ones when those come out. Mortal Kombat just keeps adding, keeps getting crazier and crazier. Who will be next? Although, I'm not sure if this is the last DLC or not. We might have to wait till like Mortal Kombat 12 or whatever to see, get more characters, but it's definitely crazy.
Yeah, I mean, the marketing on this is pretty amazing, and longevity of the game is pretty nice, and it's not just a simple like character skin, like it's a full-blown edition character pack.
Yeah. And like, and that the Aftermath edition that was like that had RoboCop was like a full, it had like I think like a 3 or 4 hour more like campaign story to it. So,
I mean, I feel like fighting games lately is you never buy the first edition.
Always wait for like Game of the Year Ultimate or whatever, because then everything will be in there. So.
Only problem is if you are a hardcore fighting fan and you gotta be in tournaments and stuff, that's the only time you need to buy it like right as it comes out to get good at it.
Yeah.
And learn all the tricks.
So speaking of gaming stuff, we got some news this week that there is a new Resident Evil movie on the way. So I believe last week we talked about the Resident Evil CG show that's coming to Netflix. And Netflix is also getting a live-action show that's a weird Wesker, like Wesker's twin daughters going to like New Raccoon City show, whatever the hell that is. But there's a new movie, has nothing to do with anything Netflix is doing. It's totally its own thing. Seems like it's gonna be like a combo of like Resident Evil 1 and 2, possibly, because like it's all game characters. It seems like it's also going to be not like what like Paul W.S. Anderson was doing with like its own like, it's not going to be like original character thing. It's going to be all the characters you know, and set in like 1998 in Raccoon City. So Resident Evil 1 and 2. But Kaia Scodelario from probably if you saw her in Crawl, is gonna be Claire. Hannah John Kamen from who was Ghost in Ant-Man and the Wasp is gonna be Jill. Robbie Amell is gonna be Chris. Tom Hopper from Luther from Umbrella Academy is gonna be Albert Wesker. And then Avan Jogia from Zombieland Double Tap is gonna be Leon, and then Neil McDonough is gonna be William Birkin.
I mean, it's a good solid lineup.
Mm-hmm. I think Tom Hopper as Wesker is a pretty awesome casting. Like just throw sunglasses on him and he's basically Wesker.
Yep. I mean, it's the Wesker characters are pretty cool. You get like just the blonde hair look right.
Mm-hmm.
And Tony Hopper just is fun. Like he's like, you know, even well the Wesker getup, he's just like a fun guy, you know, like just because he's got these big eyes that make him look innocent, like in Umbrella Academy. And then it's like he's got the height, and I guess he's gonna put on some muscle to look like the Wesker from the video games. Or he's gonna wear his monkey suit.
just wear that.
Can't get into doorways.
Yeah.
You know, he's just like, shit, this is a problem. I also think the casting is a little too early for Resident Evil 1 and 2 at the same time.
Yeah, I wonder what, like, are they gonna, like, because, I mean, I guess they sort of took place, I mean, Resident Evil 1 was, like, shortly before 2, but, like, are they gonna, like, is it gonna be, like, the first half, like, first hour is Resident Evil 1, the second hour is Resident Evil 2, or, like
I don't know.
Like, a flash between them, like, is it gonna be, like, just flashback, constantly be, like, back and forth between the mansion and Raccoon City, or, like, yeah, I don't know. But I mean, I guess as long as it's more based on the games than like the previous series of movies, then I guess that's good. And it's gonna be directed by Johan Roberts, who is probably best known for 47 Meters Down. Actually, both 47 Meters Down movies. So if And, no release date yet. Obviously, they just cast people, so probably gonna be a while for this one, but, yeah, hopefully it's faithful to the game, and hopefully it'll be fun. And then, we got a ton of, movie delays, so, I mean, pretty much the rest of the year is, if you're thinking about seeing a big movie in a theater, it's pretty much wiped out at this point. So just run through them quick. Soul, which is the new Pixar movie, that is going from Thanksgiving weekend to directly to Disney Plus on Christmas Day. No Time to Die is next April now. So they moved from November next month to next April. Dune is going all the way to October of next year. They were going to be December this year. Batman, because Dune moved, Batman got moved to 2022. And then I think there was like one more big one. Fast 9 just kind of shifted a little bit away from, because No Time to Die is April, and that's when Fast 9 was going to be. So Fast 9 is now Memorial Day next year. But yeah, so I mean the calendar for this year is pretty much the only movie people are like hinging like any sort of like hope for theaters on is Wonder Woman 1984. Which is like, it's like, and that's like the very last week of 2022. It's like Christmas week.
So yeah, it's like Christmas 2000, like 20th week.
Yeah. The release calendar is pretty much what it's done. There's for 2020, it's done. It's been done for a while, but this is like officially like there's possibly like Death on the Nile, possibly Free Guy. It's like the new Croods. There's a new Croods movie coming out.
I can't believe there's that many Croods that they came to like a new one.
Well, it's I think it's only the second one. I think
no,
I think,
it's not. It's like number three.
Well, no, I think there was a show. I think there was a the first movie, then a show, then the second movie. I think.
Really?
Yeah.
Maybe I'm confusing the show because I was like, I was about it because it was like Nick Cage is like a caveman. Hell yeah! And then and then they just got too many. And I was like, oh no.
Yeah, I think Netflix had a show, and then there's now this is gonna be like the second movie. Oh yeah, and then also West Side Story was gonna be like a big like Steven Spielberg's remake of West Side Story was gonna be a big Christmas release, and that's also I believe moved to like Christmas next year or something or December next year. So, yeah, it's like the only things possibly left are Free Guy, Croods 2, Wonder Woman, Escape Room 2. Coming to
what?
America.
There's an Escape Room 2.
Yeah. Oh, that movie made so much money like worldwide last year. Like it made over like $100 million on like a $5 million budget or something. Wow. So that was a massive success last year. And it was also pretty fun. So. Oh, and then. Like Coming to America 2, but we haven't seen anything of that movie, so I highly doubt that's even happening. Like, I think they've been shooting it, but there's been like no poster, no trailer. Like, if it actually is like 2 months away, like you would think we would have heard anything about it. But I think Regal is close. Like Regal's just like we're done.
They said they're closing, but I don't think they're like out of business. They just kind of closed to not pay rent.
Yeah, they closed because it was costing them more to like be open and like be open and show movies than it was to like be closed. I think they said like if there is like a string of releases, they're not going to open just for one movie. Like if there's like a bunch of movies like in a row that they'll reopen again. But yeah, I think they're pretty much specifically saying like, we're not going to open just for Wonder Woman in December. Like, if there's no other movies besides Wonder Woman, we're done for the rest of the year, basically. Especially since Bond is gone.
Yeah.
But yeah, so just get ready for just more for VOD and Netflix original movies and Amazon Prime videos for the rest of the year. And last bit news for this week is that we got some news about Spider-Man 3, which has been very like there's been crazy stuff rumored and like for this movie. I think last week we talked about Electro, Jamie Foxx is gonna be back as his character from Amazing Spider-Man 2. And have you seen any of the rumors where like people were saying like Kirsten Dunst might be back and like all the Spider-Man might be back? And like...
I think there's a really quick cameo because even Joe, our Joe, texted me and was like, did you see the poster like rumor where like other Spider people are supposed to show up? But I think that could just be altered dimensions that like I hope that it's
well,
not
I
just
saw,
like
I saw like a fan poster where it had like it was like. Tom Holland, Tobey Maguire,
right?
and Andrew Garfield, like, and then, yeah, it was like, but it wasn't official. It was like a fan made. Like, wouldn't this be awesome?
Yeah, it's like, I just like hope that actually is coming true, and they're like, shit, like that was supposed to be like a secret for a while, but I'm down for it. It makes sense if he just yeah, like you're not the only Spider-Man, and it's like he shows them other dimensions of Spider people.
Well, we gotta say like, so Doctor Strange is gonna be in Spider-Man 3. Is the news, which I get. Yeah, I mean, that, like his solo movies is Multitudes of the Multiverse of Madness. So, I mean, I guess that pretty much confirms that like we're gonna get some sort of multiverse shenanigans in Spider-Man 3.
I hope so, but
because I think this will probably be like Spider-Man 3 is gonna be after definitely after WandaVision, which is going to probably introduce some weird multiverse hijinks. And also, I think it's going to be after Doctor Strange 2 as well. So probably by possibly at that point, like, we'll like be like, yes, the multiverse exists. There's other Marvel universes.
But you know, the thing I can't figure out is, are we supposed to skip what happened with the reveal of who Peter Parker is? Like, is that gonna play into effect in this movie?
Well, I mean, it's gotta. I mean, it definitely has to. Like, I wonder if it's gonna be like, oh, maybe he can escape to like a multiverse, or, like, another Earth or something, or maybe
like a Rick and Morty episode,
or it's gonna be like, or maybe it's like people from other Earth, but maybe like villains from other multiverses are gonna like show up and be like, we're gonna catch that Peter Parker. Like, I don't know who the hell would be like. I don't know what villain would be like. Yeah, I'm gonna open up dimension, like, portals to other dimensions and have people come and like hunt Peter Parker down. But
yeah, like, what guy is just like, I hate Peter. He's but that thing. He's so new to the scene that basically, you know, his only villain that he really was like, he made a really true rival lately was Mysterio, and he's not walking around lately.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, so this definitely could be a crazy ass Spider-Man. Like, this could be a live action Spider-Verse. maybe they could enter the animated universe, like, at some point. Like, who knows? Anything could happen.
Yeah, half the movie just takes place in the animated universe.
Yeah, get like an animated Tom Holland Spider-Man, like meeting like animated Miles or something, and or like Peter Porker or something. Like, but yeah, the MCU is gonna get pretty weird coming up. The next wave of MCU movies is gonna get pretty nuts, I think. So that's pretty much it for news this week. So why don't we jump into show and tell? And Chris, you and I, for your birthday last weekend, we watched the insane 1995 Don the Dragon Wilson movie, Virtual Combat.
Yep. Great find that you found.
Yep.
That just had everything that we wanted to see in a just unbelievable cheesy movie.
Mm-hmm.
That just doesn't know where it wanted to be, like, doesn't know what it wanted to do.
It was just, yeah, it was just pulling random things from like 90s pop culture, just like, what are the kids into? VR, martial arts,
the future,
cyber sex, like
the Hoover Dam.
Yeah, the kids love the Hoover Dam. Yeah, god, they must have like they must have got like that permit to shoot at the Hoover Dam, and then they're just like, shoot as much as you can at the Hoover Dam.
Yeah, I'm surprised the movie didn't, like, more of the movie didn't take place in the Hoover Dam, because it's just one of those things where you think it'd be like a one-time set piece, but it's like a lot more than we thought.
Well, aren't the virtual people like created at the Hoover Dam?
Were they? I have no idea. They didn't explain anything.
I think they're created in a different lab, and then like the evil British company leader, like CEO, like drives them to the Hoover Dam and like attacks the Hoover Dam for some reason.
He just drives there, even though the factory is miles away, because they go back to it at the end of the movie, like the same factory.
Yeah,
and the main villain, like one of the main villains, shows up and just murders Dante. Two, just because.
Yeah. Dante, who only talks like telekinetically to, or like telepathically to people, like he cannot talk himself. He's also like the weird boss of like this like virtual VR video game fighting game that like Don the Dragon Wilson like is constantly trying to like beat, but he's like always losing.
Yeah, but he's losing to like a cheating end boss character, which makes sense because this guy's like a really cheap boss.
Yeah, like he's like Shao Kahn.
Yeah, he's Shao Kahn, but he also, I don't know, like, he just, it doesn't make any sense to what kind of fighting game this is, let alone at the end, it just goes bonkers because he can do things that don't make any sense either.
Yeah, he has like Terminator 2 powers. Like, he can just, like, he's like T-1000. He can just, like, generate swords out of his hand or turn his arm into a sword or, like...
Like, well, I get, yeah. Like, he's a robot, so you're able to.
Is he a robot, or is he, like, he's made of, like, cyber goo or something, like... Because what was it, like, cyberplasm or something? And, like, some stupid name they came up with?
Yeah, yeah.
But, yeah, but, I mean, basically, it's, like, Donald Dragon Wilson is a, like, cop in Las Vegas. And then this weird VR company... is able to, like, generate characters from the VR into, like, reality and, like, make them, like, actual, like people. But then, so it's, like, but then, so the evil CEO of the company, like, generates, like, two, like, cyber sex characters, and then, but then also, like, some, for some reason, like, like, the evil villain of, like, this, like, fighting game is generated, too. And they're all, and they all have, like, a telepathic link to each other. And then, I still don't understand what the hell the CEO of the company was trying to do. Like, he takes like the two cyber women, and then he was gonna, like, sell them to, like, the highest bidder or something.
Okay, so he not only has, like, a great virtual reality project that, like, you could fight in, you could have sex in, you know, like, yeah. It works. It's like Inception.
on a giant gyroscope, like a fucking, like, yeah. NASA gyroscope you have to strap yourself into.
So somehow that was, like, it's a really good product. And then he's like, well, you know, I guess I want to make the next product, which is, like, cyborgs. But then as a businessman, it's actually cheaper to run the virtual reality thing than it is to maintain a cyborg. Like, in the long run, I'm just like, I'm a better businessman just based on that business proposal, where it's like, okay, people are willing to pay, like, I don't know, what, like, $5,000 a pop or something. It was something big. Like, it was a big amount of money.
Or was it some sort of, like, stupid, like, feature? It was like 5,000 cyber credits or something?
Something like that. You know, something where it's like, okay, now you got to maintain this robot, which is, like, you know, then you got to get, like, a whole room and shit. Like, what?
Yeah.
I don't know. And then it's, like, cool that he made a sex robot come to life, and then he just murders his own employees.
Yeah, and then, he drives them to Los Angeles, which I guess is, like, where his company's actually based, because he's in an office in Los Angeles.
No, he's in Los Angeles, and he goes to the Hoover Dam. Or he goes to Vegas. I don't know. They're all, like, weirdly connected in that.
But... Yeah, I think the lab is in Las Vegas or something, and then, like, he drives through the Hoover Dam and, like, kills, like, security guards.
That makes sense. That makes sense, then.
Who are are his employees, because they recognize him, and he's like, don't you know who I am? And then, like, he has, like, the, like, S&M cyberwoman, like, kill them with their whip and stuff, and then drives to, like, Los Angeles. And so then, like, Don the Dragon Wilson has to, like, follows them after, like, his partner gets murdered by...
Because he just also goes to the Hoover Dam for whatever reason.
Yeah. Because they get a call of, like, people are getting attacked, like, the guards at the Hoover Dam are getting attacked by, like, random assailants or something. And, like Don the Dragon Wilson's partner is, like, half drunk because they've been drinking all night. He's just like, oh, I'll go answer this call by myself with my stupid, like, taser laser. We don't have guns. We have, like, stun baton.
But then it's like, that guy is the Johnny Cage guy.
Yeah.
He's like, yeah, I have a cyber relationship all the time. It's not cheating. And the guy's like, you're married.
Yeah.
Right? Like, it's not brought up that the guy's married and has, like, a loving family.
Yeah. Until Don the Dragon has to go, after his partner's killing, is, like, go and, like, break the news to, like, his wife, and the wife's, like, the only person who's, like, legitimately acting in the entire movie. Like, she gives, like, this, like, actual, like, performance.
Yeah, that's the weird thing, where, like, we still can't figure out, she's brought up one time, and then just, we never see her again. It's like, we don't understand, did she get compensation or anything in the end?
Yeah. And then, like, Don the Dragon's like, oh, I'm going rogue. I'm like, I'm turning my badge. I'm going rogue to, like, solve this murder. And then, like, his captain's like, sure, but, like, I'll still, like,
I have to, like, fire you though.
yeah, like you're fight, like all right, I'll take your badge, but then I'll like help you, but also like I'll betray you as well later. Like,
yeah, his betrayal comes out of nowhere.
And then like Don the Dragon meets like the other like Cyberwoman at like a like the home like the homeless shelter slash like factory, like abandoned factory. And then she like is like within like like what would you say like 5 minutes of meeting her they're having sex. And, well, at first she's like, wait, no, I she's like her program is just like I can have sex with whoever shows up, and it's then he's like, no, I don't even know you, and then like it's like 5 minutes later, it's just like, all right.
it's like he was against having relationships with like not a human, and then he's all about it.
Yeah. Oh, and also, everyone also knows karate. Like every single person in this movie knows karate. Even like the cyber sex women know karate. Like random businessmen know karate. Like
it's weird, yeah.
But yeah, it's nuts. You can watch. We have it on. If you head over to everynation.com, we got. We have an embed of the movie that we watched, plus our commentary. You can watch it along with us. We did a crazy guest-filled, everything alcohol-fueled commentary for it. So you can go check that out on the site right now. And Chris, do you see anything else besides virtual combat?
Well, I read more comics this week. Been reading the latest Dynamite comic, Green Hornet. I'm on issue 3, mm-hmm. where Green Hornet and Kato are infiltrating some super evil corporation that is like kind of hoarding a space rock, but they don't know it's a space rock. It's like a meteorite. It's kind of like a Superman baby carriage thing. Mm-hmm. It's funny because the way this comic is written, it reminds me of Batman the Animated Series, where you're going to have some like realistic things going on in the world, but then there's like comical, like obvious cartoon like designs that no one bats an eye at. Because in the middle of this like area that they're at, there's just like this like skull fortress. And everyone's wearing like a giant like winged armor, like soldier suit that you're like, you could spot that from like a mile away. Just like, mm-hmm. Anyway, that's just like the local like villain headquarters. So I think that's pretty funny because the comic doesn't take itself serious. So that's just like a normal thing to these like town people where you'd have like a super skull fortress and you still go about your business. And then I've been reading the Cyberpunk 2077 Trauma Team issue 2. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting now because I feel like the first issue drew in readers to understand the world, and the second issue is to draw the readers more to the character and the psyche of being a futuristic first responder mercenary, because the trauma team unit is kind of the like they're like composed of like specialists, whereas like an EMT, a soldier, like a weapons expert, and then you have like on the field like surgeons, and they're all like army trained or like, you know, military grade certified, whatever. I know like in the board game the trauma team members are who you can like kind of like replace other characters with in case you need to do like a save. Like, have you ever seen Cyberpunk being played? Not the video game, but like the actual Cyberpunk.
No.
Yeah, the lore could be, if you want the story to change, but like kind of add up some drama, you can kind of injure a character, and then you can call in, if you have the money, like an additional unit to show up on the board to kind of play up the story and kind of alter certain situations a little bit. Like you can kind of do a branching story, where if you can get like a character to the trauma team, there's a chance that they could save the character, or else they're like horribly injured and they're just dead. So trauma team's characters are supposed to be very well balanced, so they can just show up to most situations and like go in a gunfight to like get your character out. So it's like kind of how you avoid the permadeath. And so this comic is based on that unit where they're thrown into some crazy situation. And then especially this one character who survived a prior incident that most of the trauma team members died, and she's this only survivor. So the next incident she goes in, she kind of is suffering from PTSD, and then she discovers more and more, like, of the world is so messed up that even though, like, you're paid to do something, she doesn't want to, she just can't understand, like, why she has to do it. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the cyberpunk world is so, it's, the lore overcompenses. It's kind of like a D&D campaign where it doesn't really matter, like, if you knew everything. It's really about like how this one story unfolds in this world. So I always enjoy greater lore like that, especially when it has that fun sci-fi Blade Runner noir feel to it, where morality is just doesn't really exist. There's no black and white. It's just like, oh, if you have the money, like anything can happen. Mm-hmm. So far so good. Definitely gets me in the mood for the game, the new video game. But
yep.
I doubt the trauma team, like, you can just call them if you have. I think they might be cameos, like they'll probably reference them. But I mean, trauma teams are like super expensive to have. Like they're like premium service to just maintain. I don't know. I had to do a little research because I started like understanding that character, understanding those like builds. Mm-hmm. But also, like, that explains why cyberpunk games, if they're played like averagely, they're long, because it takes a while for the game to start and begin.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's probably gonna be like at least 40 hours probably or more the new game. Like what was Witcher? Like Witcher is probably like what, 30 or 40 hours long?
Yeah. But I'm thinking for even to have, like, you're in a situation in a game, and then you got to build up enough money to be in a gunfight later on where, like, oh, the person you are fighting is a part of a trauma team, like, clientele, so now the trauma team's coming after you. Mm-hmm. So it's pretty fun. Like, if they do show up, that's pretty cool, because that's, like, a unit you have to, like, mess with. You try to kill someone from, like, high up there who has a trauma team, like, contract, so then they show up to kind of extract the person you're going after. And so you got to deal with the trauma team members. And their job is really like to rescue. Their job's not really to fight, but they're prepared to fight if they have to. So I don't know. I wonder what happens in the story in this world where if you're a member of the same trauma team and they do like, well, who's the better client? Who do we save? Mm-hmm. Yeah, but how about you, Zach? What have you been reading or watching or doing?
Well, as far as movies go, the only other movie I saw besides Virtual Combat was probably on it was the same year as Virtual Combat, but the totally opposite end of the spectrum. Casino, the Martin Scorsese classic, that showed up from my disc Netflix queue. And yeah, I had that. I had never seen it.
Oh, really? This long?
Yeah. It was a major Scorsese blind spot for me. It's good. It's not definitely not my favorite Scorsese movie. Like, it's not. I don't think it's as good as like Goodfellas or some of the other ones. I put it in like top five, but I feel like it drags a little bit. Like, I mean, it's 3 hours long. And I feel like it kind of drags a little bit in the middle, where it's just kind of like, it's a lot of the same stuff over and over again. Like, all right, we get it.
A lot of mob montages.
Yeah. It's like, we get it. Joe Pesci is like in the mob, and like they're running this casino. Like, all right. But yeah, I mean, lots of good stuff. I mean, obviously like a lot of iconic scenes, like the scene where they like catch the guys cheating at cars, the smashed hand with the hammer. And then also a very eclectic, crazy cast. Like people, like a lot of like random people just show up. Like Don Rickles is the casino manager. and then Joe Bob Briggs shows up and he's like the dumb like slot machine guy. Like he's like supposed to like run the slot machines. But he's also like connected to like all like the like Las Vegas like local government people.
I know his uncle is.
He's like the commissioner of Las Vegas or something. And then so De Niro can never fire him until like he eventually does. But like he's like everyone's just like, oh, you can't fire him. his uncle's like the commissioner of Las Vegas or like the commissioner of gaming or whatever. So.
Yeah, there's a lot of like bad coincidences that happen, and honestly, it's like the one thing they shouldn't have done was put Joe Pesci there. I don't know why they kept him. Well, you know why later on, but it's definitely like the flaw in the group. It's like, oh, it's such a well-oiled machine, but like you have an obvious problem.
Yeah, because like I think like you're right at the beginning. They're like it's like, oh, like yeah, like De Niro shows up and like is running like with the Tropicana or whatever, and then it's like, oh, and then it's like, it's like making so much money, like it's making way too much money, like it's making almost too much money. and then Pesci shows up and it's just like, and Pesci just like starts fucking up everything and like sending all his guys in to like start like gambling and like is like robbing everybody and doing all his like mafia like extortion stuff, and it's just like brings everyone down.
Yep.
But yeah, definitely a great crime movie. It's not one of my favorite Scorsese movies after seeing it, but it's top, I would say top five. Definitely below some other ones though. And then as far as I saw a bunch of TV shows. So we got the long delayed season 10 finale of The Walking Dead that was supposed to air in like April, but then it got delayed because of the pandemic. So now it's like episode 16 of The Walking Dead. It finally aired on like 5 months later, 6 months later, however long it's been. To like kind of wrap up the the Whisperer War. That's been like the last season or two here. It was fine.
good recap, yeah. Review, Zach.
Yeah, it was. I mean, I think it didn't like get as bad as like the whole like Negan storyline was like the Negan like Saviors War seemed like it felt endless and like it was just awful.
And then nothing really at the end happened.
Yeah, this was like the Whisper War was getting to that point, but it never quite like it didn't get as bad as that. But I think it definitely needed to wrap up the way like now when it did. So, so that's wrapped up, and then we'll whatever the new plot is for the new season. We'll find out which. It's gonna be the start of the final season of the main Walking Dead show. So I guess we'll have to see how it ends. There was some I haven't read the comics in so long, and I fell off like so like soon from like I don't know if this has anything to do with anything, but like I'm sure it's probably a comic character, but it's like a character that they introduced that is like wears a hoodie and it has like a crazy mask on and like has like double ninja like size that shows up. And like is like helping, and it shows up with like because the big thing is like one of the big things that for this finale is like Maggie comes back because she's been like gone for pretty much the entire season because Lauren Cohen went to that whatever that Whiskey Tango or Whiskey Cavalier show that got canceled, and they're like, oh, your show got canceled, you want to come back to Walking Dead?
She's not gonna say no to like a steady paycheck.
But she shows up with some weird, like a ninja person who they don't reveal who it is. I guess that'll be like one of the next season things.
Zombie Glenn.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, doesn't she have she would have a baby by now, right?
Yeah, I think, and I forget what. I think she left her baby with like like Hilltop or something, and like went off with like this group that this group showed up, and they had like they're like going around like giving people like instructions for how to like build like windmills and stuff, and like all this like technical knowledge. And so they're like, hey Maggie, you should come with us because like you're the like mayor or governor of like Hilltop or whatever, and then like but we could like use you out on the road like teaching people stuff. Or like training people in like for like this like technical manual about how to like do irrigation and windmills and blacksmithing and stuff. So that's where she's been like the last season or so. It's like off somewhere with like this like group that's like just like
engineers
trying to give people trying to like help people build like actual working like cities and stuff. But yeah, I mean it's not great. but I feel like I'm pot committed at this point. I just gotta see how it ends this final season, so I'm gonna keep watching it. I'm not like at the point of like hate watching it, like it's not like unwatchable garbage, but like it's nowhere near as good as like the first couple seasons of the show. So
That's the most like vibe that most people kind of watch it now. Like they have I just need to watch it to the end, but it's nowhere near a Game of Thrones level of like hate watching.
Oh yeah. Well, I mean, we'll see how the final season goes if it's like
as true
as the Game of Thrones final season, but
it could turn its ugly head that way.
It's still more coherent and like not as rushed as the final season of Game of Thrones. So it's got that going for it. And then also on AMC, I think it's actually the first episode is actually like officially like airing live like this coming weekend, but it was on like the first episode is on demand right now. At least for me, I was watching it and I'm like, I have Philo for my like cable alternative. I switched from Sling TV to Philo because Philo is cheaper and it has more channels that I want. So on the AMC on demand on Philo, the first episode of season 2 of Eli Roth's History of Horror was up there. So that's back for the spooky season. There's gonna be like I think it's like however many episodes of more diving into different subjects around horror movies. It's an interesting solid kind of like intro to horror movies, or like if you're looking for like suggestions for stuff to watch. I mean, they hit some obvious ones, and it also feels like some of the movies they like really like digging in on is like based on who they got to like interview. Like this first episode of season 2 is like Houses of Hell, and it's all about it's like house based horror. So it's like they talk about like Sinister and Last House on the Left and Amityville Horror. But then also it's like, oh, Rob Zombie's here, so let's talk about House of a Thousand Corpses. That'll be like one of our big like features for this episode. So it's a little dictated by like who they got to interview. It's like maybe it's not like a classic, but like this person's here, so we'll talk about it.
we grab them while they're having lunch.
Yeah. But I mean, they do get the show has like a ton of huge names on it. Like, I mean, last season they had like Tarantino was there, like Stephen King's there, like Rob Zombie, Rick Nicotero, at least like one or two actors from each movie that talk about is there. For this first episode of season 2, like for Amityville Horror, like James Brolin's there to talk about Amityville Horror.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. So yeah, a lot of cool people showing up. Definitely some interesting like behind the scenes stuff, or like kind of just like people talk about why these movies are worth watching, or like why they're important. And it's definitely good. Like if you're just getting into horror, kind of like my suggestion for like stuff to watch. Like if you just like go in to like episode like if you go into like the vampire episode or something, and like you'll get like 4 or 5 good suggestions like of stuff to watch. Because it's every episode is usually like they really dig deep into like 4 or 5 different movies. But yeah, definitely worth checking out. If you're into horror movies or want some horror suggestions or just want to hear some behind the scenes stuff about some big horror movies. Yeah, so that's back on AMC. And then I watched the first episode of Next, which is a new Fox show. They're calling it an event series, which I guess is like code for like limited series, or maybe as well a second season. But yeah, it stars John Slattery from Mad Men, and also Howard Stark from the MCU and a bunch of other stuff. But he's definitely like still in the vein of like a Howard Stark or like a Tony Stark or something. He's like a this like disgraced tech billionaire who his brother kicked him out of his own company because he didn't like he wasn't on board for like this like AI system that they were developing called Next, and he teams up with like this FBI agent because it seems like this AI has gotten loose on the internet and now it's like killing people. So basically the first episode is like they go like his brother's company now, and then it's like, oh, and then they figure out like, oh yeah, like this AI like blackmailed one of the people at the company to like put a router in like the server that it's on so it could escape the internet. And now it's like replicating itself and like making itself smarter. So now it's like rogue AI is like in the world.
On the internet.
Yeah, it's like on all the internets, like in like killing people and like hacking everything.
It reminds me of like Eagle Eye.
Yeah, it is very much Eagle Eye.
It just looks at humans, just like, well, I'm gonna try to like get rid of you.
Or like if Michael Bay like directed Black Mirror or something, where it's just like it's way dumber than like a Black Mirror episode normally would be.
But do you like it so far, or is it just like some obvious problems?
I think I'm gonna give it like a couple more episodes just to see like if it gets like totally nuts, like I'll probably stick with it. The first episode was a little boring. Like it got pretty like it got a little crazy at the end, which like so hopefully it'll like ramp up and like be even like if it gets crazier and crazier and like this thing is just like hacking everything and like it gets like stupid nonsense, I'll probably keep watching it just to see what the hell is like what is Next gonna do next. But if it stays like this, it stays at the level it was for this first episode, I might bail out after a couple episodes because it wasn't the only thing that was really keeping it interesting in this first episode is like John Slattery, he's just in like Roger Sterling mode basically for the entire episode, and he's like the only interesting character so far. Like everyone else is pretty bland. But yeah, like if there's a lot of like ridiculous like, oh my god, Next is like hacking like whatever, and like it's like like the first step, like the big like inciting incident for the episode and the whole show is like there's this like doctor of computer science that like accidentally stumbled on the code for Next somewhere, and like so then like Next is like stalking him, and so like he's like trying to like he's trying to get to John Slattery to like tell him that like Next is loose, but then
the internet's loose. Like, all right.
Yeah, but doctor like ripped. He like ripped out like his like all the electronics on his car. And, like he's like buying, like he's using like, a paper map to like get everywhere. But then like Next hacks like a car in like the oncoming lane from him, and then crashes him. And like so he ends up in a coma in the hospital, and then like at the hospital, like Next like hacks all of his like medical equipment and kills him in the hospital.
Jesus, Next.
So yeah, it's just like if they keep ramping up like the ridiculous stuff that Next can do, I'll be interested. Like if it's just like hacking like I don't know, like if
it, I like a microwave the, just like to a pager.
Yeah, just like bigger and bigger things, and it gets ridiculous. Like then I'll be on board. If it just stays as like this like kind of a bland Fox thriller, I'll probably bail. But I mean, check the first episode out if you want to check it out. It's on Hulu or Fox, the Fox app or whatever, or however you want to watch it. But yeah, hopefully it gets ridiculous. If not, I'll probably not stick around for it. I think it's like a 10 episode first season slash event series season. If it does well, it'll probably get second season. It's also like the only new Fox show like around. Like I think the only other thing they're airing is like they're like re-airing Cosmos, and they're also like they took like Ally's Finest from Spectrum, and it's like they're airing those as shows. Like there's not really any like new like Fox like Fox dramas or anything.
No medical drama to push.
No, whatever was still on their slate that didn't get canceled last year. So yeah, so that's it for me this week. So we wrap things up. Definitely head over to the site. We've got, like we said, we got the virtual combat commentary up there right now. You can watch that. We're doing all sorts of Halloween stuff for this month. So we got like spooky songs. We got horror villains in the spotlight. We've got every Thursday we got some sort of horror movie you can watch in full on the site. Probably usually thanks to YouTube. So head over, check all that stuff out, and. Yeah, so for Chris, I am Zach, and we will see you next week.
For more Everything Action, head to www.everythingaction.com. You can also follow us on Twitter at EVAction, on Facebook by searching for Everything Action, and follow us on Instagram at everything.action. You can also subscribe and get more episodes on Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify.